I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How stiff is your neck? How's your neck feeling? Brad, you don't answer. He broke his neck. But it's healed. He's just a little tight. How stiff is your neck, spiritually speaking? Because, again, spiritually speaking, a stiff neck results from a hard heart, according to Scripture. We see this when righteous Stephen in the New Testament, who we're told is full of the Spirit, said to these self-righteous religious rulers, who we are told were full of rage, just before they stoned him to death, Stephen said, "You stiff-necked people." And it was an expression. It's like, you can't turn, you can't change. You stiff-necked people. It means your pride prevents you from turning from going your own way to hearing and receiving what I'm calling the throne way of truth and life. And he says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears." And there's a simple explanation for that, because circumcision was the sign of God's covenant, right? The Old Testament covenant. What he's saying is, you're rejecting God's covenant by closing up your hearts to hearing his word. And so he says, you always resist the wrong spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet? This is what got him stoned. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? Like Isaiah, Jeremiah. And when they heard this, oh, they heard that. And when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth like you do in hell, right? And as if to prove his point, covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, "La, la, 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 la." They don't want to hear another word. They all rushed at him and killed him, having laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who will grow up to be Paul, who will later realize and write in Romans that one is not a Jew outwardly, inwardly. And circumcision, as a sign of the new covenant, is of the heart, as in hearing and receiving the Spirit. And so let's talk about some prophets, because 750 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah had tried to warn their forefathers that we all went astray like sheep, and we all have turned to our own way. And just a short generation after that, he's followed up by the prophet Jeremiah, who sadly reported that they did not listen even to that. They did not listen or incline their ear, like even try to hear. But nope, stiffen their neck that they might not hear what needs to be done. We're good at that. I don't want to hear what needs to be done. And receive instruction on how to do it. And Jeremiah says, "And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart." This is the Lord speaking through him. "So that no one listens to me." For about 600 years. But 600 years later, our shepherd, the great shepherd, happily though solemnly, reported that my sheep, he says, first time people, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That was a pretty big deal. We listen for his voice. We follow him in his word. Like when he compares himself to a sower, you know, and our heart is, he compares to soil, and his word is the seed that he's sowing in our heart. That's the good soil, hopefully. And he said, when his word meets a hard, unbroken or unwise heart, it quickly dies. And if that heart is not cleared of worldly thorns, well, then that word's going to be slowly choked out by the thorns. But he's just looking for the good soil, the heart, the good heart. And I'm listening to that. And, you know, I hear his voice. I hear his voice. And so we're going to follow him to Jeremiah chapter 4, 600 years earlier, when Jesus said, the Lord says, break up your unplowed ground, right? Do not sow among thorns. How? Circumcise your hearts. How? Wash the evil from your heart. How? Well, see, they're pulling together all these symbols from the Bible. And we are told that we're washed with the word. It just all goes back to receiving his word. Ears to hear and a heart to receive. And I almost made this the opening question. Look how good this question is. How long will you harbor wicked thoughts? You know, is your heart a safe harbor for wicked thoughts? Mine is sometimes. Let's just put it out there. But God says, my people, here's the thing. My people are skilled. I am. I'm really skilled in justifying my sins. You know, I think we all are. My people are skilled in doing evil. His people, skilled in doing like the dictates of their own evil, unbroken, thorn-ridden hearts. But they know not how to do good. How to do, you know, the word sown in the good soil. Because thing is, the light has come into the world. But all who do evil hate the light. If there's an evil thing, a wicked thing, just a bad thing that you still are holding on to doing, that thing you're not going to want to bring into the light. That's just how it is. All who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. That's why we resist his spirit. That's why it is natural for us to not want to read his word. It's just the way it is. It's natural. It's why we need supernatural power and help to blast through the pride. So is your heart a safe harbor for wicked thoughts? Or, I hope, do they meet a quick death by way of his word, his will, and the power of his spirit? Because this means war. You think the Bible is a book? Silly. It's a battlefield. It's where you enter that baby to fight. And the moment you say, your kingdom come, you enlist. And I'm telling you right now, the enemy notices the new uniform, the new heart, the new you, the new mind. Oh, but here's what we have. The cry, your will be done, is the battle cry of every believer. Because our new heart, there's a battle going on. Our new heart fights for purification, right? While our old heart fights to harbor pollution. We even have two minds at odds with God's will. Therefore, James says, therefore, you know, don't resist the spirit like the stiff-necked people and submit to the devil. No, do the opposite. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But that means you must draw near to God and purify, because the devil ain't afraid of you. But man, when God's standing right behind you, and you're like, you go away, he's like, oh, okay. And you're like, oh man, I'm so powerful. And God's just standing right behind you. You got to draw near to God and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's just the way it is. It's not really even an insult. It's just he's saying, because you've got two minds. And you got two hearts, so purify it. For my people, the Lord says in Jeremiah, are wise to do evil. And then jump back to James. He says, but self-seeking, he's talking about wisdom, self-seeking wisdom based on yourself in your heart, you know, is demonic. Whereas if you seek the Lord, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of the Lord your God, you will find him, because it's a person, not a doctrine. You'll find him if that is, you look for him with all your heart. It's not a suggestion, it's a submission. That's what we submit to. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Submit to God and he'll deliver. But here's the point this morning. Don't picture resisting as holding your ground. You know? Mm-mm. Because we don't submit by standing still. We have very clear marching orders, or I should probably say running orders. We have running orders. It's all through the Bible. You know, right? Like when God tells the prophet Habakkuk to write some Bible. Write some Bible, he says. Write the vision. Why? The person may run who reads it. Which is why Paul says so much, including this, I have finished, at the end of his life, I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And it's why he also said, you, run, me, run, 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 Forrest, run in such a way, run in such a way as to get the prize. And that's not your own way, that's God's way. Run in such a way as to get the prize. And he says that, and later calls it a crown of life, because God said, he shall have his life as a prize of war. It's war. Therefore, let us, you, me, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, that ends at the grave. Because this is war. And resisting requires a sense of urgency. I'm going to read you a little story. Listen to this very condensed version of David and Goliath and pay attention to how everyone is moving and in which direction. I've just never noticed this before. But here's the story in a nutshell. Israel and the Philistines were facing each other, and David ran to the battle lines, and Goliath stepped out from his lines, and the Israelites all ran from him in great fear. But David said to King Saul, let no one lose heart. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. And I just like that. I went after it and struck it and killed it. And the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, well, David ran quickly toward the battle line again to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine, and he fell face down on the ground. Floof! And David ran and stood over him. And the Philistines turned and ran. Now, that with David is a picture of how you resist the enemy. Enemy coming at you, you run at him. And how you submit to God's will. Because the enemy sure doesn't stand still. And the enemy isn't people. It's the spirit trying to mess with you because of people. So listen to the shepherd's voice and run toward what you cannot run from. Don't live in lukewarm limbo. If there's something you can't run from, you run toward. Reminds me so much of Jesus approaching the demoniac, the legion-filled, naked lunatic in the cemetery at night all by himself, right? Okay, put up the scripture. Matthew's purple, Mark's blue, Luke's green. We weave it to receive it, every last piece of it. And here's what it says. When Jesus got out of the boat, all the disciples stayed. It's just him. It's on the shore, and it's dark, right? This is a scary place. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs. He had broken his chains, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day he would cry out, because we're told he would cut himself, and so he's all gashed and bloody. It's a horror movie. No one could pass that way. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and cried out. And Jesus, and here's what I picture, Jesus coming ashore like a mighty hunter with a steady nerve and an elephant gun, commanded the evil spirit, come out. And he fell at Jesus' feet. Poof. 2 years ago. This story is so good, I built the whole sermon on it. My son and I laughing so hard at this. It just 2 years ago, my son took his two oldest boys, 10 and 8, to the haunted fire station in Bellingham. It's right by their house for Halloween. And man, did they hate it. They just scared them spitless. And they came out vowing never again. And last year, he said, anybody want to go to that firehouse? One of them, I'll try it again. And he came out going, never again. That's, why did I do that? This is horrible. So this year, my son Keaton says, any takers on the fire station? And both the oldest says, no, we're never doing that again. One new taker. 6-year-old Hardy. Okay? I'm not known for his bravery. He wants to go. He wants to go. So Keaton's telling me this story. It does not disappoint. He says, we're in line. We're getting ready. And I'm getting nervous, he says. And so I said, are you sure? Are you sure? And Hardy says, I won't be scared because I have a plan. And Keaton asked me, what's your plan? He says, I'm not telling. He says, I'm just checking to make sure, does he have anything in his pockets? Is it, what's he going to do? And he says, so we get inside, and it's all dark, and everyone is screaming, and there's kids crying, he said. And here comes this monster charging at us. And Hardy, 6 years old, came up with this on his own. Hardy steps toward him and says, hi, cutie. You're a cutie. Boy, this is genius. And holds his ground. And Keaton said, every terrifying jump scare after that was met with the same greeting. Hi, cutie. Cutie, you're a cutie. And when they walked out, Hardy looks up at Keaton when they get out and he says, I told you I had a plan. So the moral of the message today is brought to you by 6-year-old Hardy. And here it is. We got to step out if we're going to submit to the Lord and stand firm out of the mouth of babes. And if we're going to drop a knee, that's what we've been talking about. If we're going to drop a knee, literally or spiritually, and say, your kingdom come, right? We better mean your will be done, because that's how his kingdom comes. You know, that's what it means. And if you're meaning your will be done, then we better be pausing and planning how we, you and me, specifically, individually, are going to do what needs doing that day. I mean, it just makes sense. Otherwise, it's like looking at an overgrown yard and saying, hey, let me help you out, Lord. Thy lawn be mowed. We don't command it. We commit to it. Right? You commit to doing it. So before you take a knee at your door, literally or spiritually, which I highly recommend, you need to know what you're kneeling for and what it is you're submitting to and committing to do. And so right now, we're just going to let the light come into the world. You ready to receive the light of his will? Because it might expose a wicked heart, and we hate the light to do that. But here it comes, ready or not, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son shining in and through you and then believes in him may have eternal life. That's his will. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. Just that. First of all, then, I ask that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made, be offered for everyone in all devotion and dignity. Because this is good. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. And he has, like it or not, committed to us. This is your uniform. Committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So, watch carefully, then, how you live. Not as foolish persons who don't know the will of God, But be wise. Do not continue in ignorance. There's no excuse. But try to understand what is the will of the Lord. Try to understand what it means and how it applies and how you're going to do it on a daily basis. Because not everyone, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. I think what he's saying is not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will choose to enter the actual kingdom of heaven. But only the one who actually does the will of my Father in heaven, waiting to receive. For it is the will of God that by doing good, you, don't look at anybody else, I'm not even looking at you, by doing good, you may silence the ignorance of foolish people around you. Because that's what it's all about. In Jesus' heartwarming story of the hard-hearted prodigal son and his soft-hearted father, we get everything we need. When the prodigal son was still a great way off, his father, who we're told represents our father, saw him. Because he was watching carefully and had compassion and ran. Ran and fell not at his feet. He fell on his neck. It was probably a stiff neck to start with. And this softened it up because he kissed his neck. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, you know, how dare you? I hope you're ready to bow and kiss my ring. No, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, bring the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry. Oh, but his other son, the religious one, who didn't share his father's compassion, was angry and would not even go in. And the moral of this story is sponsored today by Proverbs 15:17, which says, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. You see, the father was watching and waiting to run to reconcile with his son. Even though, hear this very clear, even though his son was 100% in the wrong, and the father was 100% in the right, and yet he was watching for the chance to run to reconcile. So, if in your situations, you are in the right, double down, you double-minded. Double down and run to do what's right in our Father's sight according to his will. Which means, like that prodigal's father, be watchful. Be watchful because these are the things where the enemy works. This is it. Your adversary, the devil, this is where he's active. So you be watchful because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, loud and proud. So resist him. Do like David, go after him and remain firm in your faith, which requires loading God's word into our hearts. Imagine taking aim at that charging lion, you know, and then pulling the trigger and click, 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 no ammo, no ammo, no stone in your sling. It's David reaching into the bag and there's nothing there. That's us. That's us when our heart is deprived of our only true power to carry out God's will, his word, because in it we see his love. And we just, an understanding and wisdom come. And we need his word coursing through our veins. Because standing firm is the opposite of standing still. To stand firm is to run to what needs to be done. Therefore, if you, you know, as Christ's ambassador of reconciliation, are offering your gift, you know, to offer your body as a living sacrifice at the altar, which we're told for us is the cross. It's kind of what we're doing this morning, right? And there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you, regardless of what you have against them, regardless if they're 100% wrong. Leave your gift there. You ever notice it says in front? In front of the altar. Well, that would be at the feet, right? At the feet of your Savior who said, Father, forgive them. First, go, and not slow, as his ambassadors. And whatever it is, and whoever it is, and it's really hard because you're dealing with a heart that's fighting against you, you just go, and whoever that person is that doesn't deserve it, you say, "Hi, cutie. I owe you an apology." And you grit and grunt that out. Good job, faithful servant. And be reconciled to them. Whether or not they want to be reconciled to you, that's not our business. Then come with your heart free of hypocrisy and offer your gift, your body as a living sacrifice. Because now it's true. You did. Really, all you're doing now when you offer it is going, was that good, Dad? Was that good? For our struggle is against the spiritual forces of evil. It's not against the person. But the devil uses the people. So as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not be overcome by evil. But you, come on, you overcome, because you can. And you will. I know you will. Overcome evil with good. Whatever the situation that needs reconciliation, stand firm and race to that toothless lion and that tiny giant and say, "Hi, cutie," and take them down. Take them down to the feet of Jesus. And you know how you know when it's time to rush toward reconciliation? It's just the person pops into your mind, and if you're open to hearing the shepherd's voice and you think he might be saying go to him, and your heart starts racing, well, when your heart starts racing, you better start running for your life. And in that moment, may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, he could do anything, right? That great Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he then work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Because that is how you turn a hard heart into a hearty heart. But Hardy had a plan. So the question is, do you? Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you. And submit our stubborn hearts to you, Father. Holy Spirit, empower us to stand firm and step out and run to do your will. Lord Jesus, purify our hearts now as we praise you and draw near to you. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.